right. Hello, this is Gabe. Merry Christmas, 2023. Man, you know, I want to talk about Godzilla Minus One. I actually wanted to record this weeks ago when I saw it, but lots of stuff got in the way. Been doing a lot of other stuff. You know what? I actually went to go see The Iron Claw two nights ago. It's very good. I liked it a lot. I wouldn't say I love it, but I liked it a lot. I really did. I highly recommend it, especially if you really love wrestling. And if you're from Texas. It was cool. I'm glad the theater we went to go see it at the Alamo Draft House. And there was a lot of people, like, it just showed up. It was like the 7:15 show on Saturday night. And, yeah, it was cool. I was happy to be there. Again, I don't like going to see movies in theaters anymore. But, you know, someone who grew up with wrestling from Texas, you know, everyone here knows about the Von Erichs, so. I had to go, and I liked it. Even though my friend Augie, who went, I mean, he's more of a fucking wrestling junkie than anyone I know, and man, he liked it, but he wasn't too thrilled with it. He said it could have been better, and that's exactly how I feel about Godzilla Minus One. Everybody fucking loves the shit out of Minus One, man. They do. But I feel it's overrated. My friend Xander, the guy who did the retro future sounding theme for us, he heard that they want to release the film in black and white, you know, like in the spirit of the original. So he took a scene from it and did it in black and white and put some of the original music over it, and it worked, and it was nice. I was like, wow, I should have liked that more than the theatrical version that we got, because, you know, the black and white hides the really bad special effects. It is a good movie. The special effects are okay. They're not great, but I feel like the black and white kind of hid that. It masked it somehow, but yeah, I thought it was cool. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the black and white one. But yeah, The Iron Claw. I like it. I'll totally buy it when it comes out. I don't think they'll make a fucking steelbook. I mean, I don't know. But then again, who knows? If they do, I guess I will. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, Iron Claw. Totally recommended. But Godzilla. We need to talk about Godzilla. So a lot of people are saying this is the Marvel killer or something like it, because Marvel or Disney released, you know, the Marvels, and it didn't perform well. A lot of that is to blame on Disney and Warner for just releasing so many fucking superhero movies. And it doesn't matter how much people deny that superhero fatigue, you know, that it doesn't exist. This proves it, man. It really fucking proves it. It proved that after Endgame, most people were just like, dude, I just want out. We want to move on to other shit. And that's how I felt. I didn't even fucking bother watching Guardians Volume 3. Who knows? I might. Oh, I mean, I know I will. I know there's some really bad stuff with the animals, and I kind of don't want to see that. So that's why I'm kind of avoiding it. I know it's going to be really sad, but whatever. I did also watch Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Black Adam. And I like them. Before this, Shazam, the first Shazam was like my favorite just superhero movie in general. I wouldn't say it's better than Superman 2, but I liked it a lot, you know, like with like the newer superhero films, like, you know, starting from since Iron Man. You know, I like Shazam, just, you know, not Fury, they got the first Shazam a lot. And I thought it was the best out of anything that Marvel or DC did. Well, I actually like Fury of the Gods a little bit more. And I know people hate it, but I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was cool. And Black Adam, I really dug that. Because for the longest time, even since like the 2000s, I always said that The Rock would make a great Black Adam. But this is when he had hair. And I always wanted The Rock to be Black Adam. And when they announced, hey, The Rock's going to be Black Adam, I'm like, shit, like fucking 15, 20 years too late, but I'll take it. Because it's what I wanted way before anyone was even fucking talking about it. And I liked it. The dude's brutal, man. He fucking kills people left and right. I'm like, this is what fucking Black Adam is right here. Even the dude's like, I ain't no fucking hero. And yeah, I really liked Black Adam. And I don't know. I just think people are being a little too harsh on it. Or just, I don't know. I just know I really liked it. And I know a lot of people don't. But and that, I guess that's just the way, that's the way things usually are with me. Because everybody hated the first Suicide Squad. I liked it. I avoided seeing it in theaters. And I just, I listened to all the hate, and I was just like, wow, people really hate this. But as soon as it came out on digital, I bought it. And I don't know if it has anything to do with it. I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but I saw the director's cut. I still haven't seen the theatrical version. But I liked it because I really like Will Smith, and I thought he was really great. So, yeah. Yeah, I liked it. But Godzilla, man, Godzilla. You know, like yeah, I love Godzilla. And I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I love the fucking 1997 Godzilla. It's just anything with giant monsters is fucking fun. I love it. I even love Rampage and Jesus. There's this game on Steam called The Terror of, I forgot what the fuck that monster is called. I don't even want to look it up in my Steam library. You know what? I might as well. I have it open. It's The Terror of Himasaurus. Terror of Himasaurus is like Rampage. You just run around destroying buildings and crushing people. And you know, it's fun. It's just like Rampage. And I really love that game. And I just, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like the ultimate Godzilla fan, but I love Godzilla and King Kong. So, yeah, I had to go to the theater to see this movie. And I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I just think it shouldn't have been 2 hours long. The director, John, because it was me, John, and AG that went to go see it. AG loved it. AG does not like Godzilla, but he loved this movie so much that when he went with us, it was the second time seeing it. John was pretty excited. So we watched this movie, and John pretty much said the thing he said is like the best way, or the best thing anyone could say for this movie. And that's the dramatic parts were dragged out too long. And I agree. And my other complaint was just the ending. It was a cheap ending. It was really cheap. It's, oh man. I mean, I guess there's just no other way to explain it than just saying it was really cheap. And I can't say how without spoiling it. But I will say that I liked the movie. I liked it. I liked the, you know, because really most of it is just about a man and his problems, his uphill battle with just all his fucking trauma. And I think it was well done. Godzilla's more like a side thing, and I mean, that's the way it is, right? That's the way it's, I mean, that's what the original was. And he wasn't on screen much. But I think they kept the human side very interesting, that I didn't care about seeing Godzilla on screen at all. I was more worried about this guy and his trauma and how he's struggling in life. Like, I was really worried, and I really cared about this character until the end. I'm going to bring up another movie because it kind of reminds me of it, but I can't say it either because it's going to be a big spoiler. But Godzilla Minus One, is it worth your time? I'd say, yeah, it is. Because I didn't feel ripped off. I just felt like, oh, that was just a cheap move. But I didn't feel ripped off at all. And if I had to rate it, you know, again, you might not like my fucking taste in movies, but if I were to rate it, I'd give it 3 stars. 3 out of 5. Yeah, I'd give it a 3 out of 5 easily. No more, no less. But, well, I mean, all we can do now is talk about it, right? So, what is it? Godzilla Minus One. It's another Godzilla movie, but this time it's straight from Japan, and it comes at us near at the end of 2023. It's 1945, near the end of World War II, and we meet a kamikaze pilot by the name of Koichi Shishiki, Jesus Christ, yeah, he's got a long ass fucking name. Why couldn't he just give him a shorter one? Koichi Shikishima, who one night meets Godzilla, who also Godzilla kills most of his fucking military homies from the Air Force right there. That fucking night he meets him. And he is haunted by this meeting of Godzilla. He's haunted by this night for the like following years. You know, he makes it back home, only to find out that his parents are dead because of the bombing raids. And he meets another World War II survivor by the name of Noriko Oishi, whose parents also died in the bombing raids. And she has a baby with her who is an orphan, named Akiko. And so Noriko adopted this baby. So, like the rest of the country, Shikishima and Noriko begin the process of rebuilding and moving on and raising this child together. Noriko plays the role of the mom. Shikishima plays the role of the father. And we suddenly just get a glimpse of a fucking bomb going off. Like, you know, they're testing fucking atom bombs. And I guess that tells us, oh yeah, this is how Godzilla gets bigger, because when we first see him, he's actually not that big. I'd say he's just like a little bit bigger than the T-Rex on fucking Jurassic Park. But we move to 1946 from there. And here we got Shikishima. He goes out and looks for work to support the two, you know, the baby and the girl. And he picks up a job being a minesweeper. The job pays well. I mean, does it pay well in real life? I don't fucking know. But did it pay well for the time? I don't know. But he sure made it seem like it paid well. And Noriko finds out that his job is, well, he's going to be a minesweeper. His life is in danger. He has to remove a bunch of fucking mines out in the water. And she protests. She doesn't want him to have this job because, you know, he might die. I mean, he's got to remove thousands of mines that were put in the water by U.S. and Japanese forces. But they're raising a child, and they need the extra money. And this job can bring that. And, yeah, I think it was like over 3,000 or 6,000 bombs or some shit like that. But, yeah, they get a bunch of Japanese men to go out there on wooden boats, like fishermen boats, because these bombs were also magnetic. So they get these guys to get on wooden boats, locate these bombs, get them to come to the surface, and then shoot them on a mounted machine gun, or shoot them with a mounted machine gun from a distance and just blow them up and then move on to the next. So when before I forget, Shikishima is not only being haunted by that night when Godzilla showed up. You know, like I mentioned, he's just a little bit bigger than the T-Rex, maybe. But then again, I forgot how exactly big the T-Rex was. But he's maybe like 4 or 5 stories tall. And he has nightmares about this. But aside from that, he also has survivor's guilt because of the war and, well, being a kamikaze pilot who didn't do the job. But yeah, you know, back on track. So then we go to 1947, and Godzilla attacks the Japanese Navy, and you know, they figured, shit, that the giant lizard's going to be fucking moving towards land. It's going to be moving towards Japan. So Shikishima and his minesweeping homies, who one of them that goes by the name of Kenji Noda, he's played by an actor named Hidetaka Noshioka, I think. Noshioka? The dude looks like Taika Waititi. You know, the dude who directed Thor Ragnarok and... Jesus Christ, what's the name of that fucking comedy vampire movie? Damn it, I forgot. It's such a good fucking movie, I forgot. It's like probably now one of my favorite vampire movies ever. Oh, What We Do in the Shadows, there we go. This guy looks like Taika Waititi. And I swear, I told John, I was like, dude, that guy looks like him. We should just call him like fucking Tokyo Waititi, because he fucking has the same fucking crazy hair too and all that. But these guys are tasked in keeping an eye out for Godzilla and letting the rest of the Navy know its location if they spot him. From then on, the movie is about trying to stop Godzilla from reaching Japan and causing more death and destruction. Many consider this to be the scary horror version of Godzilla. But unfortunately, I am going to stop there with the non-spoiler summary, as I believe there is a really good scene that I wish not to spoil. I really love this one scene, and while most, if not all, would, you know, like, they would not consider this a spoiler, I think it was a great little scene, and I would like it to be a surprise for anyone who loves Godzilla and a certain almost nearly perfect film in history, that I'll stop there. But it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And not knowing anything about this movie when I went to go see it, I thought it was like a nice little treat. So I really love that. But again, if you gotta know my personal rating of the movie, I give it a 3.5. That's it. So this is your spoiler talk warning. From here on out, I'm going to be talking about spoilers, and I will not be following the rest of the movie plot like I normally do. I'm just going to assume that you've seen it already from here on, so we can just talk about spoilers. I'm going to be talking about the things I liked and disliked, and why I gave the film pretty much everyone is praising to be a 5 out of 5, a 3 out of 5. So, and of course, you shouldn't be taking my opinions and ratings or reviews as something you can count on. I'm just some fucking dude bullshitting on fucking Spotify. Because like I've proved many times, there's just some movies many consider trash that I love. And I hate many movies people consider gold. You know, like Interstellar. Trash. So, final spoiler warning. Yeah, I can't even fucking talk today. It's Christmas, dude. Jesus Christ. My fucking sleep schedule's been crazy. Fuck. Yeah, I'm fucking out of it, dude. That's all I gotta say. I'm not even drunk. Fuck. So, yeah. Final spoiler warning. Let's go. So, the movie is fucking loaded with PTSD. Mental struggles and survivor's guilt. Like, pretty much right after the first Godzilla attack, when Shikishima witnessed all his fucking comrades get fucking stomped on. I mean, they got crushed, bitten, and get fucking tossed far away by Godzilla. Of course. I mean, who the fuck is going to do it? So, shit, even before the Godzilla attack, he was already feeling shameful for abandoning his fucking task of being a kamikaze pilot. He lied about his plane having issues so he wouldn't have to go fucking kill himself. And you know what? Fuck yeah, I'm all for that, because fuck the Japanese government for doing that. And, well, just, well, fuck a government that says you should be a part of the bomb and they'll consider you a piece of shit for not wanting to do so. Many will argue this and say that, oh, kamikaze pilots were volunteers. Well, that is half true. Many were forced to be. Many did not have a choice. So I found this website called historyskills.com, and they say, quote, some pilots were promised rewards or incentives for volunteering for their missions, while others were threatened with punishment or harm to their families if they not comply with orders, end quote. So, yeah. And of course, nobody likes Reddit, but, you know, Reddit's full of useful stuff, you know? So on r/today, I learned a Reddit user by the name of Violet Peacock posted about how, quote, pilots were asked to put their hand up in a group if they didn't want to volunteer. Amid peer pressure, hardly anyone was able to say no to the mission, end quote. Another Redditor by the name of Broken Eye replied, quote, I believe the official military terminology is voluntold, end quote. That guy received 2,500 upvotes. While there are others who disagree the way that term was used in the subject, many still got the point. I'm pretty sure Shikishima did not volunteer, but I don't remember if this was ever mentioned at all. I feel like I would have remembered this. But then again, you know, I saw this like what? Geez, 3 weeks ago? Four weeks ago? I don't know. But yeah, he goes back home and he's shamed for being a kamikaze pilot who came back alive. Even sometimes just bringing down the mood when he tells people that his role was, you know, what his role was in the war. Everybody's like, oh, what are you? He was like, oh, I was a kamikaze pilot. He's like, oh, shit. Everybody's like, oh, he's still alive. Like, he didn't do his fucking job. And everybody just got that kind of feeling like, oh, this dude's a fucking coward, you know? But, fuck him. But fuck it. I don't blame him. The Japanese leaders at the time were garbage. And I should stop now, because if not, I will go into this whole fucking general who refused to surrender even after getting bombed the first time, so. Yeah, anyway, Shikishima is not, he's just not getting a fucking break. On top of this mental uphill battle he's facing, Akiko, the baby girl he and Noriko have adopted, is calling him father. And this bothers him. To the point he tells her not to call him that. This is the one part that I fucking hated him. Because the poor girl's parents died during the war. She doesn't even fucking remember them. She was just a baby. You don't do that. And his minesweeper homies, they kind of gave him the looks when he was like, don't call me that. They're like, dude, you don't fucking say that. That's mean. And when they find out that him and Noriko are not even a couple, they're just friends raising a kid together, even they were just all disappointed. He doesn't catch a fucking break, dude. I thought that was funny, but yeah. It had its moments. The movie had a lot of good moments, but shit, like we're gonna talk about Godzilla right now, because you know we're getting a little too much into the human stuff. But you know what? When we see Godzilla uses atomic breath, because you know I have to bring it up because we almost forgot about Godzilla. You know, the guy who's fucking named all over the fucking, his name is on the fucking movie title. But yeah, when he uses his atomic breath and it makes a fucking nuke size explosion wherever the fuck it hits, and the shockwave just fucking blasts, crushes, and destroys everything. Well, This is a big complaint right here. Noriko and Shigeshima are watching Godzilla just tear the whole fucking place apart. So he does this fucking badass fucking atomic breath, and it causes a big ass nuke explosion. Noriko pushes Shigeshima into an alley, saving him from the blast slash shockwave. And where the fuck did she go? We're pretty much told she died, right? I mean, this is like, okay, I get the point. She's dead because he comes out of the alley. He can't find her anywhere. Everything around him is just fucking destroyed and blown up. People fucking flying. Of course, you're going to think she's dead. And here's the thing. He's there watching Godzilla. Looking up. And then the camera starts panning out. And then he starts screaming. And then while he starts screaming, fucking black rain starts falling. But there's a problem with this. And it's a problem with the movie in general. And it's what John said. The drama parts were just dragged out too fucking long. Like when he's there screaming, they should have cut it sooner, but they didn't. I was just like, oh man, this is... I honestly, at some parts, I just wanted to laugh. And then plus Black Rain. I think John also brought up the point that, oh, it's just Black Rain. And they're going to get fucking cancer because that's what happened in fucking real life. But... At one point, Akiko gives Shigeshima a drawing of all three of them together. And she just suddenly bursts out fucking crying. Like, fucking loud. And it's not one of those build-up cries. It's as if she was midway crying, and they just started filming. She was fast-forwarding. Like, she fast-forwarded her fucking cry. This part lasted too long. And at one point, I looked over at AJ and John to see if they were laughing, because I sure as fuck wanted to laugh. It was just so fucking sudden. So, the people of Japan come together to make a plan to stop Godzilla, because the government is refusing to do anything about it, and the U.S. is dealing with Russia. So, the people, they're on their own. So, Tokyo Waititi comes up with this plan to drown Godzilla by using Freon tanks and sinking him to the very depths of the fucking ocean in hopes of having him get crushed to death. Well, he also has a plan B. His plan B is to use the balloons to surround him that will bring him back up to the surface, and then they'll use explosives to kill him. With Shigeshima, seeing how Godzilla's Wolverine super fast healing works, because earlier in the film, they blew up his fucking head, and then it just fucking healed. He's just back on them. Shigeshima volunteers to do the one thing he couldn't do. Be a kamikaze pilot and fly a plane loaded with explosives into Godzilla's mouth and do enough damage to get the job done that he won't be able to fucking self-heal. So, the hero's redemption or some shit, right? Well, fucking wrong. The night before the attack on Godzilla, he is with the other Godzilla survivor of the island from the beginning, Tachibana. You know, he goes and looks out for him because he's like some epic fucking plane mechanic or whatever. And, well, he has to go look for him. He kind of talks shit because he can't find him. So he talks shit about him and hope that the word gets back to him so he can find him. And it ends up working. But turns out that they have like this experimental plane, and Tachibana tells him about it, and he tells him that he wants to load it with more explosives. And, you know, Tachibana was giving shit for being a coward at the beginning of the film, and then he respects him now for finally taking up the role of a kamikaze pilot. So the next day, Godzilla is spotted, you know, after they fix up the plane, because they do a bunch of work on the plane, and they're like, it's ready, man. It's ready for you to go do your kamikaze job. So The next day, Godzilla is spotted, and he fucking wrecks everyone and makes it to land. Shikishima confronts him on his plane and totally aggroes Godzilla, kiting him back to the water and away from land. And yeah, that's MMO fucking raid talk, but whatever. This is where the movie just fucking fell apart for me. So they kick off plan A. He doesn't get crushed, and Godzilla is pissed and is revving up his fucking atomic breath. While this is happening, you see the ships and the Navy men or seamen on board looking at Godzilla like, oh shit, we're gonna fucking die, dude. He's pissed. But man, does this scene fucking drag, dude. I mean, this director must really like Zack Snyder in his slow motion, but... Okay. Oh man, dude, it's just... So again, this is where the movie falls apart for me, man. Everybody's just waiting for Godzilla to use his atomic breath, right? To kill everyone. Everybody's ready to die. But then here comes Shikishima to save the fucking day. Like Randy Quaid on Independence Day, right as the ship's about to shoot the fucking laser over Area 51. He's not like, hi boys, or hello boys, I'm back. Like, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say that, but he flies the plane into fucking Godzilla's mouth. And bam. Godzilla's whole fucking head and probably his chest and all that shit are gone, dude. He fucking kills him and Godzilla's sinking into the fucking water. Now, we get into another scene that just gets dragged out so fucking much of the Navy crew saluting his sacrifice. But wait. I gotta drink a little bit of my Pepsi. Hold on. That's so fucking good. But wait. Someone points up at the fucking sky. And holy shit. It's Shikishima. Why is this a fucking surprise? Allow me to explain some bullshit. Earlier in the film, we are told how Japanese aircraft do not come with ejection seats for the pilots, aside from other facts like weaponry being garbo, including tanks. And the whole thing about him deciding he's going to sacrifice himself to kill Godzilla, the whole thing about him overcoming the mental struggles in his life brought on by Godzilla and him abandoning his duty as a kamikaze pilot, all of that was used to mislead us for this cheap fucking surprise. Like, right after we fucking see him coming down in a parachute, we are then suddenly shown a moment, a flashback from the night before that was kept from us, where he tells Tachibana that he's going to sacrifice himself. And Tachibana's like, nah, brah, this comes with an ejector seat. Here's the lever. They kept that part from us for this cheap fucking moment. This is so fucking cheap. It reminded me of The Big Hit, you know, where Lou Diamond Phillips comes in through the door right after seeing his car explode at the bottom of the cliff, and you're like, how the fuck did he survive? And the movie shows you how he got out of the car and like just escaped, just right as the fucking car lands on his car and explodes. But of course, The Big Hit is a fucking comedy, and it was intended to be obnoxiously hilarious. But this is Godzilla Minus One. A movie 90% of the viewers consider to be fucking cinema perfection. But that's not where the bullshit ends. There's fucking more. He and the men get back to land, right? He's so fucking stupid. They make it back to land, where he's not only greeted by his adopted daughter, but he's also handed a message. And I'm like, oh God, dude, we're watching a fucking movie. I'm like, I know what the fuck it is already. If they fucked us over with that stupid ass ejector seat, I know what the fuck it is. What does this message say? Judging by the look on his face, it's painfully fucking obvious what's next. He's now at a hospital. Oh, yes, it's becoming more obvious. He's looking for a room. Who could he possibly fucking... Who could he possibly be fucking looking for? Oh, shit. It's Noriko. You know, the chick who got blasted by the fucking shockwave that destroyed everything around them? You know, the same wave that she pushed him into the alley to avoid so he could fucking live? That shockwave. And the dude sees her sitting with an arm brace and some bandages around her head. And the dude just stands there at the door looking at her, and then he just fucking starts crying. And the scene gets dragged out way too fucking long. And then, after just standing there like a fucking Muppet just looking at her crying, he finally approaches her and he cries more and he lays his fucking head on her lap. This is just dragged on way too fucking much, and I do not apologize for the amount of times I have said dragged. This movie's fucking dramatic scenes dragged way too fucking much, dude. What really ruined it for me was the fucking plot armor and like, you know, all these safety nets that are suddenly thrown at you last second. Of just like, oh, a tragic hero struggling to find redemption suddenly wins the fucking lottery, making the entire film's emotional uphill battle for nothing. But wait, there's fucking more. We now see like the remains of Godzilla in the depths of the ocean, and he fucking starts to regenerate. And that's how the movie ends. And Noriko's like still pretty good looking. She's still like attractive. She just looks like, oh, she just got beaten up. Like, not too bad. Like, she just got in a little fucking bar cat fight and fell over and broke her arm on a fucking, on a stool that was knocked over. I don't know. I like the movie, believe it or not, as much as I'm shitting on it. And I liked it. It's just, you know, it's, and I don't like it just because of the cool Godzilla parts, but Shikishima was a cool character. I really love the guy. But the director just didn't know when to fucking cut. The movie should not have been 2 fucking hours long. I'm not, like, I don't know, man. You know what? I'm looking forward to, like, a Steelbook release in 4K, believe it or not. Many are saying it is the movie of the year. Do I agree? I don't know. I mean, it can be. It just needs some shorter scenes. You just needed to cut out all the dragginess, I would say. But then I remind myself of the bullshit ending and the surprises, like the details kept from the viewer for the shock, cheap fucking surprise value. It was very cheap, and therefore I cannot fucking agree with that, dude. Fuck no, I can't. But yeah, that's my fucking take. Yeah, I guess we now wait for the sequel, right? And for a movie having a budget of $15 million, the special effects were nice. You know, Godzilla looked fucking amazing. His atomic breath was fucking awesome. But yeah, that's about it, you know? It was just... You know, I was going to talk about David Fincher's The Killer on Netflix, but I guess I'll just save that for like another time. I don't want to say next week because who knows, I might not feel like it. Maybe next episode, I guess. But you know what? I've seen a bunch of movies this year, and I can easily say what my top 2 favorite movies of this year are. My favorite movie this year, easily so far, man, is The Killer. So yeah, you know, again, David Fincher is a killer on Netflix. I liked it. Augie didn't like it. But hey, I liked it. And the other one is When Evil Lurks. When Evil Lurks on Shudder. A damn good horror film from Argentina. And before I saw Evil Lurks, I saw another movie from the same director that he did, I think back in 2019 or 2018. Called Terrified. Every time I tell people, they're like, oh, you mean Terrifier with the clown? No, you fucking idiot. I said Terrified. Jesus Christ. Fucking morons, I swear. Yeah, Terrified, not Terrifier. Fucking stupid asses. But yeah, check out Terrified from Argentina. Argentina. I can't talk today. But yeah, Terrified. Damn it. Now I'm fucking myself over shit. Never mind. Yeah, fuck Terrifier. I mean, yeah, I seen Terrifier 1 and 2. It's fucking stupid ass movies. I don't see why people like them. They're garbage. Yeah, they're dumb. But yeah, Terrified from Argentina. Argentina. You know, there you go. Check it out. Really good movie. A lot of people think the table scene with little kids creepy. Well, I think that is, but I think more when the guy's on his cell phone in the car and he hangs up and you see something in the distance approaching him pretty fucking fast. That was fucking creepy as shit, dude. Yeah, Terrified's really good. But you know what? I actually think When Evil Lurks is a superior film. It's really fucked up. And if you cannot watch anything with children being hurt, I do not recommend it. It's a brutal fucking movie, dude. Everything, any horror films that come out of countries below fucking the United States, they don't fuck around. Beelzebuth was fucking hardcore. It's still a good movie. And When Evil Lurks, damn, that's got one of the most fucked up scenes I've ever seen in any fucking movie, man. Oh, man. Yeah, it's fucking brutal. You know what? I should talk about that next. I'll get John on to talk about that because I just think that movie's fucking horror perfection. Though it is, as John said, it kind of reminded him of a Record. But you know what? Why he's right? I still loved it. But yeah, it's another Spanish film, right? Record. But yeah. But anyways, that's my take on fucking Godzilla Minus One. But yeah. Merry Christmas. Peace the fuck out.